And we're back on Veterans Radio, and we are talking with author Mark LeBlanco, the author of Distant War, Recollections of Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. And just before we took a break, we were talking about a photographer, a young woman photographer from France. Mark, would you like to continue on with that?
Yeah, by the way, Catherine was a tiny little gal. I think she weighed all of 90 pounds, and it was said of her that she had that she wore size 10 combat boots, and she spoke French and a little English, but she could cuss in 15 languages, by the way. And often, and I think the cussing came from hanging out as she did in the foxholes with the troops. One of the missions that she drew was, and it wasn't easy, but apparently Catherine back in France had done some skydiving, and turned out that the 173rd Airborne Division was going to jump over Tainan Province in an operation called Op Junction City, and she approached the division, who checked back with the Pentagon, and the Pentagon said, well, if it's okay with you guys, it's okay with us, and she jumped with them, and as she told me when I interviewed her, she was afraid that she was going to be the one that landed in a tree, and that honor went to a troop, not to her. So she made the jump successfully.
There's a great picture of her in the book, and she really is tiny.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And she remained tiny until her death a couple of years ago, sadly, of lung cancer. She lived here in the West Los Angeles area in Southern California, and I would see her from time to time at different functions and talk to her on the phone occasionally. But another great photographer who covered the Vietnam War, certainly.
She looks tough. She's got a cigarette in her hand pretty much every picture.
And she smoked when I met her, and apparently that was her demise.
Which is too bad. Let's talk about some of these people. There's a chapter 4 is called The Indomitable Spirit at the Hanoi Hilton, Admiral James Bond Stockdale.
Right.
Tell us about Admiral Stockdale.
Well, you know, I think, unfortunately, he's a great man that all too many people remember from his time running as the vice presidential candidate with Ross Perot, and when they think the name Stockdale, they think of him making that comment. I think it was on the Larry King show when he was debating former Vice President Al Gore, and his comment was something like, "Who am I? What am I here? Why am I here?" And the man was far from that. He was a brilliant scholar, a great aviator, of course, as everybody knows. And what I was able to discern from talking to people who knew him in the Hanoi Hilton, of course, he being the highest-ranking naval officer to have been a prisoner in the Hanoi Hilton, he was a great leader even in times of peril that these men were put through for so many years. I talked to some great personages in pursuit of that article and that chapter in the book. By the way, Commander Ed Alvarez, who, as you know, was the first pilot shot down in the Vietnam War. Senator John McCain was gracious with his time. We spoke on the phone about Vice Admiral Stockdale, and he's just had a ship commissioned in his name and in his honor up the coast here in Point Hueneme not too long ago, a few months ago. But just a giant of a man to those in need of counseling, in terms of how are we going to get through this alive.
Now, I wanted you to
return with honor,
right,
to use their term.
Return with honor.
Term.
And
right.
Can you tell our audience a little bit about some of the things that Admiral Stockdale had to go through?
Oh, my God. I mean, of course, the most famous that many of your listeners may have heard about was the Vietnamese rope trick, where their limbs were bound and their hands tied behind their backs and rotated in such a way when they would not give up information, so as to break their shoulder bones time and time again, and it goes on from there. Beatings, the forced signings of false statements that we had bombed the peaceful Republic of North Vietnam, on and on and on and on. And it's just it's just gut-wrenching to think of what those men, as in the case of, not only Vice Admiral Stockdale, but Commander Alvarez and Senator McCain, all had to go through for so many years.
Gary here. One of the things, when you mentioned returned with honor,
right.
What that was talking about was when they drag you off for the torture,
right.
That you did not give up information until you could no longer withstand the torture, which would be maybe after the second, third, or fourth day.
Right.
And if you were dragged back barely alive, you were returning with honor. What his philosophy was, make them, you're going to break, but don't give it up without having them force you to break. And
absolutely. And that were, that was the code that was also adhered to by people like Senator Jeremiah Denton, who I did not interview for my chapter on the Vice Admiral Stockdale, but who centered and was prominent in a film called Return with Honor, which was a documentary,
right.
That I also covered in the book. And the lead into that chapter, I mean, I went into a theater here in Santa Monica, and there were just a handful of people, and as the film ended, a gentleman approached me. He said, "I saw you taking notes," and he said, "I hope you tell the people that only 24 people came to see this film." I think that was the number that he quoted.
You know what? I saw it here in Ann Arbor at the Michigan Theater.
Oh, you did?
It was pretty much the same thing, and I was really outraged, but the... The thing about it was I found something on the internet, was reading what they did to Admiral Stockdale, just like the others. I got so angry, I was trembling, and I just had to stop reading it. It was so sadistic.
There was a point at which, in fact, he tried to commit suicide. It was prior to him going before the international cameras, for an interview in which he was supposed to tell the world how well they were being treated, and he bloodied himself somehow. I can't remember how he did it, but his North Vietnamese captors came in and found him lying in a pool of blood, and of course he got further punishment for that. So
he beat himself in the face with his three-legged wooden stool.
That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah.
Well, speaking about how the movie industry has kind of, I don't want to say twisted, but misrepresented, let's put it that way. You also have an article in here about Oliver Stone.
Right.
And Oliver Stone, of course, is a Vietnam vet.
He is.
But he's made
is.
Some obviously very controversial movies. Tell me a little bit about that article.
The chapter is not specifically on Mr. Stone himself, but he partook of a conference I once attended that was put on by a group called the East Meets West Foundation, and they honored him as well as Maya Yinling, the young Chinese lady whose architectural creation was the Vietnam Wall, Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall, and Lely Hayslip, who was the founder of this East Meets West Foundation, was the subject of one of Oliver Stone's movies called Heaven and Earth, and that's her foundation. And but I haven't seen Mr. Stone or Lely Hayslip, certainly her mentioned in the Vietnamese circles or anywhere else, for many, many years.
Well, I would be very remiss if I don't include one of your stories called, one of our partners said I had to do this one, Serving with Distinction on Four Legs, Dogs in Vietnam.
Yes.
Can you address that? We've got a couple of minutes till our next break.
Sure. The dogs and the dog handlers. And what an honor it was to do that original article and to make it a chapter in my book. And very interesting. Some of the gentlemen that I spoke to said that they felt closer to their dogs in many cases than they did to the guys in their units, and the dogs were ever so important to our efforts in Vietnam that it was a common occurrence that the VC would try to shoot the dogs before they ever shot our troops. You know, the reason being that the dogs were so skilled at all kinds of things that dogs are taught in terms of pointing out the enemy, and guard dogs, etc. These guys, I think, to a person, told me that they, you know, every one of them wanted to take their dogs home. Of course, they couldn't, the main reason being the indigenous diseases in the jungles of Vietnam that dogs were susceptible to that were not even in the United States. That's why it's kind of interesting to me to, you know, and I know I'm digressing here, to hear that many of our veterans who are dog handlers in Iraq and Afghanistan are, some of them are bringing their dogs home. I find that fascinating. It certainly didn't happen in Vietnam, and these guys think about their dogs on a daily basis, even today. Some of them have pictures of their dogs
that
adorn their desks and their walls to this day.
They have statues of their dogs. This we're going to be taking a break, but this is for you, Vance, for Vance and for Dutch, right? So we'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio.